above the Diamantina. A human story from Northwest Queensland.
Since both Dr. Knowles and the Brisbane specialist, Dr. Stanisforth, have been unable to discover what drug has been employed to paralyze the unknown girl, now in the Coolabah homestead, Bonaparte has sent for an Aboriginal chief, Illawalli. Dr. Knowles and Sergeant Cox have returned to Golden Dawn, and the specialist to Brisbane, and Boney has now disappeared with the station runabout truck on what he calls a walkabout. We now find him, driving up to the homestead of John Kane's station, Tintanoo. A young man in riding breeches is standing by the fence.
Looking for anyone?
Yes. Good morning.
Morning.
I am looking for Mr. Kane.
Oh, I think you'll find him over there somewhere.
Where?
Over in the office. Are you blind?
Thank you, no. I can see very well. I suppose you are not Mr. Oliver, are you?
Has it got anything to do with you?
No, not at the moment, at any rate. But I gather from your tone that you are.
Oh, there he is now in the doorway.
Yes. Thank you.
Owen, can you come over here for a moment?
All right. There's a black fellow here wanting to see you about something. Shall I send him over or tell him to wait?
All right, I'll see him now.
Good morning, Mr. Kane.
Well, what can I do for you?
We have not yet had the pleasure of meeting. I am Detective Inspector Napoleon Bonaparte.
Ah, yes, I've heard of you. Come inside the office.
Thank you.
Take a seat, will you? I'm very happy to meet you, Inspector. Extraordinary affair, this aeroplane business, isn't it? How's the girl Nettlefold found in the cockpit? Any better?
No, I fear not.
Too bad.
Her condition has baffled both Dr. Knowles and the city specialist.
It certainly is a very strange illness, from what I hear.
Yes, indeed. Mr. Kane, how much longer do you think the weather will stay dry?
It looks to me as if it'll break tonight. We're just about due for a spot of wet weather. Have a cigar?
No, thank you.
I don't like this backing and filling of the weather. Generally, the longer the seasonal storms delay, the worse they are. Can I put you up for the night?
Thank you, but I wanted to take a run over to St. Albans.
Oh, you can go there tomorrow. You're not as hurried as all that, surely.
Time is very important, Mr. Kane.
Well, you'll find it no joke to be caught in a thunderstorm, especially on the flats this side of Gurner's Hotel. The Diamantina, you know, gets pretty nasty in wet weather. You'd better stay here, I think.
It is very kind of you to insist. I will accept your invitation with pleasure. Do you know, Mr. Kane, sometimes it is an advantage to be a police officer.
Oh, really? And why?
Because one receives invitations, unexpected invitations.
I don't know whether to take that as a compliment or not. Well, I'll be frank with you, Mr. Bonaparte. I asked you to stay because I've heard that you're a clever man. And clever men are always welcome to Tintanoo.
You flatter me, Mr. Kane.
Oh, no. Sergeant Cox often stays the night, too, when he comes out this way. But I'm afraid I find him too much like my old commanding officer in the army. He's intelligent, but only within the rather narrow limits of his profession. My bullock driver is also an intelligent man, on the subject of bullocks.
Then perhaps my intelligence is limited to detection.
No, I don't think so. Well, in what way can I assist you now?
I understand that a year or so ago, one of your bores ceased to gush.
Yes, that's right. The loss of water was a pretty serious matter.
I understand also that all subsequent efforts to raise water at that bore failed.
Yes. You seem to be remarkably familiar with my affairs, Mr. Bonaparte.
Oh, I have simply entered into the gossip circles of Golden Dawn. Also, I am very interested in agricultural and grazing matters. It is an ambition of mine when I retire to buy a small farm somewhere in the country.
A very overrated pastime, believe me.
What steps did you take to find water in that bore?
I had a contractor out here. He put the bore down another 1,500 feet. Still no water. Eventually, we decided to experiment. We blew up the rock at the bottom, but even that didn't give us any water. It's rather an extraordinary thing, because although most of the Queensland bores are dwindling in output, We've never known one before to give out suddenly like this one.
What kind of charge did you use to blow up the rock, Mr. Kane?
Nitroglycerin.
Nitroglycerin?
Yes, it's the best high explosive, you know. You know, it's unholy stuff to handle. I expect you will know all about it, though, don't you?
No, I do not. Please go on, Mr. Kane.
Well, that boring contractor played with it as though it were treacle. He told me that he'd used this nitroglycerin stuff on a number of occasions, but not always with success. I rather think he was experimenting with my bore.
I do not care for the explosive myself.
No, nor do I. Is that what you wanted to see me about?
Not exactly, though the subject does interest me. I take it that a certain quantity of the explosive was brought to Tintoroo. Was it all used up, or only part of it?
Only a part.
Where do you keep it? It is dangerous stuff to keep near a house, surely.
Yes, I keep it in a specially excavated cellar about a mile from the house. It's too confoundedly risky to keep any nearer. A slight jolt, you know, will send it off. I wouldn't have been the truck driver who brought it here for anything in the world.
Would not dynamite have done the job as well? Well,
that's just what I asked the contractor. He told me dynamite was less satisfactory, but why, I couldn't tell you now. He said that nitroglycerin was widely used in the American oil fields. I suppose that was a sufficient recommendation.
Yes. Why did he not take the rest of it away?
I couldn't tell you. I asked him to, but he said he'd leave it here. I thought of asking an expert to touch it off, but it's quite useless to me now.
That would be the wisest thing I should say.
Yes, it's a possible danger to stock grazing near it.
I am given to understand that it is a thick, oily substance, faintly yellow in color. Have you seen it?
Yes, I saw it when the contractor was here. It arrived in a carboy, well packed in a crate with wood shavings, you know. I was invited to watch the unloading. Do you know, I've an idea that that fellow wanted to see me get the wind up. I was windy, too, for that matter, and I don't mind admitting it.
Yes, yes, I sympathize with you.
Well, having got the stuff down into the cellar without blowing us all the smithereens, the contractor poured some of the stuff into a tin canister. Then off we went to the bore in my car. I tell you, Bonaparte, that I went grey-haired on that trip.
Quite an experience. You have not used any of the explosive since?
No, of course not. Why do you ask?
One moment. If you examine that carboy in the cellar now, could you tell me whether any had been subsequently removed?
I don't know. If a large quantity had been taken out, I could. I don't know how much the carboy holds, but I'm almost certain that about, 2 gallons was the amount the fellow used.
I wonder.
By Jove, there is a storm coming up. Thunder.
Yes, the sky looks very black, too.
You'll be glad I offered you a bed before the night's out, Bonaparte.
I have reason to think, Mr. Kane, that a quantity of that nitroglycerine was stolen recently from your store.
By Jove, that's serious, Bonaparte.
Very serious. I would like to find out whether my suspicions are correct. Might I trespass still further on your kindness by asking you to take me to the cellar?
If you wish to go, yes. How about tomorrow morning?
I would prefer to go now.
Now? My dear fellow, in this storm...
We have time. The storm is some way off yet. And should a flash of lightning set off the explosive, I would never know one way or the other. It might easily happen, you know.
Yes, it might, Bonaparte. All right, we'll go. I hate going near the blessed stuff, but, well, it doesn't do to fear fear, does it? Come along, my car's outside.
Splendid.
I say, we'll have to hurry. Look at that sky. The storm will break in another 10 minutes or so, and I'm not going down into that cellar if it does.
Dr. Knowles ought to be back soon, Father, shouldn't he?
Yes, Elizabeth, we won't have to wait much longer.
I hope not. Don't like the look of that sky.
Yes, we're in for a real good storm by the look of it.
The thunder's getting closer.
There it is. Jove, he's in a hurry by the look of it. Trying to beat the storm, I suppose.
We'll be lucky if we can drive back to the house before it breaks.
Yes, I think so.
Have you noticed anything about Dr. Knowles, Father?
Nothing in particular. Why?
Haven't you noticed how he's steadied up on the drink in the last few days?
Yes, now you've come to mention it, I have. I wonder what's made him do that.
The girl.
What girl?
Oh, Father, don't be so dense. Miss Double M, of course.
Oh, really? Taking her case very seriously, is he?
My dear, he's always a capable doctor.
Yes, yes, I know. I didn't mean that.
Father, he's in love with her.
What? Did he tell you so?
No, I guessed it. It's quite obvious.
Blessed. Hello, here he comes. He's circling over the landing ground.
He's travelling pretty fast.
Yes, but he knows what he's doing.
He's a pretty good pilot, I think.
Oh, right he is. Though they say he's better with a few in.
Oh, he's down now.
I say, he's coming right for the car.
You better move, Father. Quickly.
Oh, he's all right. He knows what he's doing.
Look out, Father.
By Jove, he's crashed.
Father, it's tipping over.
There, there. It's settled down again. By the Lord Harry, that was a close thing.
Oh, dear. I wonder if he's hurt.
No. No, he's climbing out. He's all right.
Well, we'd better go and see.
Are you all right, Knowles? Want any help?
No, I'm all right. This confounded machine of mine, I've wrecked the wretched thing for good now.
Are you all right yourself, though?
Yes. I say, Nettlefold, why the heck can't I fly when I'm sober? Here's the cellar, Bonaparte. Come on down.
Right you are. It is very dark, is it not?
Yes. I didn't think it worthwhile having electric light installed. However, this torch is good enough. Mind those steps.
Right. The thunder is drawing close.
Yes, much too close for my liking. Here we are. Can you see the carboy? It's over in the corner there.
Yes. Can I have your torch for a moment? Thanks. Yes, plenty of dust on the outside of it.
Yes, you'd expect that in here. It's sure to cling to that oily glass.
Nitroglycerine. It is difficult to see through the glass.
I say, I wish you'd hurry up. That thunder is getting uncomfortably close.
Mr. Kane, the carboy is empty.
What? Let's have a look.
By Jove, so it is.
There are quite a number of fingerprints on the glass.
Where? Oh, yes, yes, so there are.
The dust has preserved them very well indeed.
Listen to that thunder. Come on, Bonaparte. I'm not stopping down here any longer. If you want to get blown up, you can.
There is no danger. The nitroglycerine has gone.
What about all those smears on the outside? That's enough if the lightning catches it.
All right, you go up. I will follow you in a moment or two.
Don't be a fool. Come up now.
What's the hurry, Mr. Kane? You seem to be anxious for me to leave this cellar.
My dear good chap, I am. I don't want to be killed.
Then you go up above, Mr. Kane. I will join you in a moment.
That thunder's almost overhead now.
Yes, I know. I am almost afraid to breathe. Do not wait for me.
All right. I'm off.
Very interesting fingerprints. Hello? What is this? A very strange print. It is almost circular. And across it are two distinct lines. It looked very like a partial amputation. If I saw that finger, I would recognize it immediately.
Thank you.